Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. So much to react to from the weekend, Perloff, and that Bengals-Chiefs game did not disappoint.
Yeah.
Maybe 49ers Dolphins was one of the games of the weekend. Obviously, we were wondering what Tua was going to look like in against a good defense. Turns out not as good as he normally does.
Yeah.
But that Chiefs and Bengals game was really something.
Felt like a playoff game.
Absolutely.
The way it was at 4 o'clock, the announcers, just everything about it is like, oh, okay, we're getting to that time of year.
And again, it is the Bengals that prevail over the Chiefs. Now, I think one thing became very obvious about the Chiefs, which is something you've said often, so I'll give you full credit for it, which is they don't have enough ways to get to the quarterback.
No. And also, which makes their secondary look bad, too.
Totally.
The two work together. They have basically their Chris Jones and what else? I keep wondering that. That's what happened in that against Buffalo in the playoffs last year. They couldn't stop anyone. They still found a way to win that game. But do you view the whole AFC, Maggie, differently after that game?
So, I think that the Chiefs officially have a Bengals problem. I'll put it that way.
I still think
the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC,
yeah.
And it's like Chiefs, Bills, Bengals, whichever combination you want to put that in. But the Chiefs officially have a Bengals problem.
Well, what about as a Bills fan? Do you see do the Bills have a Bengals problem too?
The Bills could very easily have a Bengals problem. They just haven't developed it yet. It showed no signs or symptoms at the moment, but it very well could
like
become
black and orange stripes show up on your body or something?
Yeah, something like hives, I guess, like kind of break out. It could become a big problem.
Yeah, I watched a game and I was actually thinking about you. I'm like, ooh, Joe Burrow's going to be tough to knock out of those AFC playoffs.
Well, he is. We already know that, right? Because of last year, but I don't want to say people thought last year was a fluke. I think it was so out of nowhere.
We definitely said that. Yeah. We were wrong.
We were dead wrong. And now it's one of our 10 commandments of gambling. Thou shalt not bet against Joe Burrow, which I mistakenly went against 2 weeks ago and took the Titans. Stupid me. Anyway, I think that Burrow and the Bengals have ascended now where it's no fluke.
Mm-hmm.
No one would be shocked. I still think the Chiefs are the class of the conference, but the Bengals have shown in a variety of ways. They have the quarterback. And the thing about Burrow is it's not like he's rushing for a lot of yards. No one would ever confuse him for Jalen Hurts or something like that. But he actually has a way of moving around in the pocket, which makes him like oddly elusive, almost not like a running quarterback, but in a way that we don't give him credit for.
Yeah, well, he's super fast when he does run. He actually runs a fair amount. Like he's like a Josh Allen Jr. when you need him.
No, but Allen is different.
But Burrow,
Allen's like he's like a tight end playing quarterback sometimes, except with an amazing arm.
Yeah, but Burrow will get you that first down when you need it. And he lowers the shoulder.
You're
right. He is not slow at all. Like,
yeah.
So he ran 11 times for 46 yards yesterday. I think that's a huge factor in this AFC playoffs. All of them are.
Yep.
Because you cannot punt the ball. In this little three-team round robin of Buffalo, Kansas City, and Cincinnati, there's going to be wild high-scoring games. And the way Cincinnati is now, that game against Buffalo, the Monday night game that you mentioned in the break, That could be for the number one seed and the bye. This is all getting huge. The stakes are rising, Maggie. I want to see you get nervous.
Well, of course I'm going to be nervous about it. I mean, it's a day that ends in Y for me. The Bills are the number one seed right now, but I don't think anyone expects that really to stick. They have a difficult schedule coming down the back end.
Really?
Wait, yeah. Well, who? Jets and then Miami Dolphins.
Okay.
Next. They still have to play the Bengals in Cincinnati.
What's this? Okay. Is gonna be hard. Oh my God! All right.
You don't want to give credit to the Jets. You're on an island, okay? I am not.
So we part were of talking before the game, and Mike said the following things. Mike Sampter, our producer, he said the Jets are going to be scary in the playoffs. You did say that.
Well, they got to get there first, but yeah.
Okay, and he said I can't wait for this Buffalo game when we started talking about the spread, and he said, "What is it going to be? 4 points?" And I said,
No. Hold on. I said 5.5 or 6.
No. You said 4.5 to start. You really did. Because I thought then you went up to 5.5 or 6. But it's 9.5. And honestly, I don't even think it should be that close.
Yeah.
It's in Buffalo. That's all that matters. Yeah, they won that crap game in the Meadowlands. But that was a weird game to start with. And Josh Allen was throwing the ball to the wrong team all the time. I don't know.
Okay, so there was no part of you that was impressed at all with what the Jets...
None.
I know they lost yesterday to the Vikings, but...
Well, first of all, how can you say this is a dangerous game and they're 9.5-point favorites? That's a huge spread in the NFL. You're different than Vegas.
No, but Vegas is doing something weird because can you find me, Sue or Mike, can you find me the Bills record against the spread? Because... last week, obviously, against the Patriots, they covered. But before that, the spreads have been out of whack for the Bills for the last couple weeks. So 9.5 to me actually does seem way too much also. The defense for the Jets is too good to make them a 9.5-point underdog.
All right, we'll see. I was not that impressed by the Vikings because obviously the Vikings are a good team, but they're not a 10-2 team, even though their record is 10-2. Okay. And the Vikings had them. I don't know why the Vikings couldn't put them away. That game was not close for a big majority of it. I'd say, how did you feel, Mike, about Mike White at the end of the first half? It looked like, the Jets have come back down to earth. Then the Vikings called off the dogs, started playing prevent, and the Jets stormed back. So, no, that did not.
No, so I don't think that was the case at all. Like, his numbers weren't great, but he was moving the ball. They were getting downfield, and then, it would just stall eventually for whatever reason, whether it was just a good play by the Vikings or whatever else. But, at no point was I saying to myself, man, Mike White just doesn't feel like the guy. Like, he was moving the ball, and he was getting the ball downfield. They had 5 field goals. Like, they just kept getting down there, and they just couldn't put into the end zone. They had 2 shots inside the 20-yard line and 2 separate possessions inside the 2-minute warning. Like, he can get the Jets on the move. And if that defense, which played one of its worst games in weeks against one of the better offenses in the NFC, if that defense can,
I think it was
playing,
a game flow.
They're really a tough out.
I think it was partly a game flow. So the Vikings went up 20-3, right? And then they just slowed it down. They just stopped doing anything.
It was ridiculous. This
just stop playing.
This is happening a lot in the NFL. Have
that
you noticed
is the story
this?
Of 2022.
I noticed with your Raiders yesterday. It's just like, why are you not even it's like you're not even trying to score. You're up a touchdown, which I guess against the Chargers feels like you're up 3 touchdowns because they can't score either. It's like they just can't move the ball and score. The Raiders had no just even thought, no urgency, no feeling in their last offensive possession that they needed to get any points or try to put a team away. And you know what? It ended up working for them yesterday.
Well,
but there was no even thought maybe we should get aggressive here and go for the touchdown.
Well, that's what it's called, winning the game by running the ball, something your Bills might consider.
Well, okay. I'm sorry. I'll take some advice from the Raiders then.
I'm sorry. I think Stu's Raiders are onto something because I like the way that they just pounded the ball into the ground the entire thing. It kind of took the Chargers out of the game. Because the Raiders were not giving the ball back. But Josh Jacobs is unbelievable. I'm not saying he's going to be with the quarterback's MVP, but that is a different philosophy. If you can run like that, I'm okay with taking the air out of the ball. But the Vikings all of a sudden stop running against the Jets. That's the more common theme we've seen. Teams go up for 2 touchdowns. Then they're like, all we're going to do is run the ball. And we're going to play back on defense. And it seems like a recipe for disaster.
But if you look at what the Vikings did, Dalvin Cook had 6 carries to start in the third and fourth quarters. He didn't run the ball that much. They were throwing the ball. The Jets defense has been historically this year incredible coming out of halftime, right? There's been multiple games where they didn't look great to start the first half, and then they came out at halftime. So the first drive, Cook had 2 rushes. Then he had 1 rush, 2 rushes in the next drive, 1 rush the next drive, 1 rush the next drive. They weren't just let's just pound the ball. The Jets defense was just playing better.
Okay.
That's the reality.
Mike, I got to put you on the spot.
The Vikings
here.
Punted 6 times in the second half.
Yeah, but that was because the Jets defense was playing better. It wasn't like they were just you know, letting up on the pedal. They were trying. They were passing the ball. They just couldn't do anything. The Jets sacked Kirk Cousins multiple times. They stopped multiple third and fourth down plays. Dalvin Cook rushed the ball, I think, six or seven times in the entire second half.
They punted six times, and four of those were three and outs.
Wait, Mike, let me ask you a question.
This is a horrific offensive play calling by the Vikings.
But also good defense by the Jets. It wasn't like they were letting off the pedal. The Jets were just stopping them.
Mike, okay, this is for you. On the spot right now, are the New York Jets going to make the playoffs? Yes or no? And you can't answer with any word right now except yes or no.
No more breathing.
Yes. Yes, but I...
Nope, that's
I
it.
Knew
that's
you were going to try and get around a yes or
that's
no.
It. I'm going to say yes.
No, you don't
that
get
that is
anything.
The... Yeah. Where did all that confidence you just had go? What happened to the sauce gardener?
It's Maggie's Bills. You know, it's,
now,
it's
you got
yes,
helped yesterday because the Chargers lost yesterday. Obviously, the Patriots lost on Thursday. Miami lost yesterday. Yeah. There were a couple things that really helped out the Jets.
They're down a lot of the tiebreakers also. So, like, a lot of things have to go right in a really difficult schedule, like top five hardest schedules in the NFL the rest of the way. So, like, a lot has to go right. And even that Lions game that looked like a gimme is now going to be really tough.
The Lions are playing excellent, by the way. I'm here to talk about the Lions as much as you guys want to.
But I will tell you, there is a playoff team on that side of the glass, Mike, and you don't have it. It is
well,
in
who,
the desert.
Who does EJ like? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah,
is
EJ's
team? Because it's not me.
I tell you, the Raiders are going to catch the Jets and the Chargers.
Don't do this to me.
They have a great chance. Great chance.
Okay, let's check out the Raiders' schedule the rest of the way because now they've won three in a row, so people are starting to feel two in overtime, by the way, and then yesterday in regulation. Now they play at the Rams next week. That's a Thursday night game, so this Thursday.
That is just lovely. That is
that works out pretty well.
That's pretty good, okay.
And then New England, which is now looking like...
That's a toss-up. That'll probably be a pick'em.
But at least you get it at home.
Okay.
You're at Pittsburgh. That's a Saturday night game on NFL Network.
That's a little dicey, too, but okay.
It's a little too hidden, you know? It's like anything can happen in that game. Okay, then San Francisco, who now is no Jimmy G with Brock Purdy, so let's see what happens. And then Kansas City in the game doesn't have a time yet.
Right, and hopefully if Kansas City is out of that and the Jets stumble a little bit, Mike, and the Chargers completely fall apart, that could be elite. You're right. You know, that's a little harder than I thought.
It's a little harder than you thought. At Pittsburgh's a winnable game.
There's a lot of quarterback injuries on that schedule, though. That's the thing about the Raiders. Things seem to have broken where at least they have a chance now, where a month ago it was ridiculous.
Absolutely. Go to the phones, 855-212-4CBS. Scott is in California. He's a Vikings fan, and I have a feeling he's probably not too happy with us right now. Hey, Scott, how's it going?
Hey, Maggie. It's just the same old thing. I've called him before, and it's like the Vikings could be, you know, just like 1998. We were 15-1, and they were still, you know, considered like one and done. But Burloff just said the Vikings are not a 10-2 team. I just don't know what it takes. We've beaten the Bills. We've beaten the Dolphins. We annihilated the entire AFC East. Other than the Eagles and the Cowboys, which, you know, Andrew, what I want to tell you is my dream for Christmas is the holiday season is to play the Eagles in the NFC championship game.
Yeah, how'd that work out last time, Scott? What was the final score the last time they played? I can't remember.
I have a different deal with O'Connell. I think he's got the team motivated. We're actually healthy. You don't hear about Viking injuries very much. They still find interesting ways to win games. We didn't blow that team out. We let them come back. Yeah, I was 20-3, and I was watching it, and I'm like, oh, we're going to lose this game, man. That's how a Viking fan thinks. You know, how do we do that? And you, when you said earlier that we just pulled into prevent, that's one of the things I hate about what they do. They don't stay aggressive. They just say, okay, we got a lead. Let's, stand back. But anyway, they're 10-2, and it's I think there's only one team with a better record and one team with the same record, and there's 32 teams. So at some point, you got to give them credit.
At some point, we're going to give them credit, Scott, and unfortunately, that day is not today.
No,
Scott, thank you for calling. We kid. I love Scott saying our team, yes, does find interesting ways to win games.
Yeah, I had such a weird...
It's such a fun way to describe them.
I had such a weird fan experience on Sunday because... As an Eagles fan, I wanted the Vikings to lose. So, because they have a great chance at number one seed. But the thought of coming in here with a winning Sampter was way too much. I mean, you can see even with a loss, he is talking trash.
He's giddy. I know.
Yeah.
Jets fan.
I've never been so happy after a loss. Like, yeah, I literally, like... after the game, I was like, all right, you know what? It's fine. It's fine. I don't even care if we win. I'm just happy we have our quarterback.
Yeah, I was watching
White
NFL.
White's the guy. Like,
he's the guy.
He's fine.
He's the guy.
I don't know.
I saw NFL Network had this thing on Mike White with Rich Eisen, who's a Jets fan. And it was talking about, it made it sound like the Jets had answered every quarterback problem, not only this year, but they've ever had. It was basically a smooth line between Joe Namath, the guarantee, and Mike White. What is going on with you guys at Mike White?
And nothing in the middle. We don't want to talk about anything in the middle. It's just Namath to White.
Yeah, who cares? Chad who? Chad Penning what? Yeah. Vinny what?
I mean, Maggie, you see it. It's getting
are two that worked out, kind of.
Yeah, they're pretty good. I'm trying to find the Kenny O'Brien where?
I mean, it's a little much, right? The Mike White love? Or am I missing how good Mike White is?
No, it's all an indictment on Zach Wilson. Mike White is the guy who is hanging out with a bunch of people who are slightly uglier than him, so he looks like he should be on a magazine.
You know, I would normally not disagree with you. However, if you watch him play, he makes every throw accurate and in a way that the guy, I mean, granted, it's two games. He was doing it mostly, you know, before.
All right.
He looked great.
Okay,
he looked incredible. And making the right reads, the right throws.
I can't cut his mic. Can you cut his mic? Let's see what happens after they play in Buffalo. Let's just see. That's not me talking trash. That's just me remembering what happened last year when Mike White went to Buffalo, and it wasn't great.
So you're talking trash. Maggie, you and I are going to have to figure this out.
Wait, no.
I'm not doing any more show bets until I wear the duck costume.
No. This is an Andrew versus Mike and Maggie bet, because you're all about this 9.5-point spread. It's crazy.
I do think it's crazy. But, I mean, I just want to see. Maybe Mike White will come to Buffalo and win, and then I'll have to shut up. But
you know, he doesn't have to win for this to be a good Mike White game. If he goes to Buffalo and loses a close game, like 2 or 3 points,
not a serious playoff contender if you're going to be okay with losing in Buffalo. Then you're not
a serious
playoff
contender. Says the person who says, oh, the best team in the league, we're not even going to make the playoffs or Super Bowl or whatever it was.
Why? Because I think the Chiefs are better? Come on. I mean, that's not a hot take. 855-212-4CBS. See, this is also the Mike White effect that I do not like. This segment started as a pro Joe Burrow segment and somehow devolved into a pro Mike White segment.
Mike White over Joe Burrow any day of the week.
Oh yeah, we're gonna sweep you out of here like Mike the clown of the Apollo on amateur.
Cool
night.
Hand Mike.
Yeah. Doesn't have that same ring.
But I would laugh even harder if Mike was not one of thousands of Jets fans around me who thinks that they have the next Patrick Mahomes. It's mass hysteria. It's like, I don't know. It's you know how like groups can be hypnotized, like cults?
Yes.
Some of that action's going on here.
You want to know what this is like when they call in politics the vocal minority? That's who you guys are. You're the vocal minority. You know what? But like, listen, he's fine. He's a totally capable quarterback, which compared to Zach Wilson, make him look like Heidi Klum. So congrats. You got him. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. All right, coming up, the college football playoff Proloff. It's set. Nick Saban? Not happy about it. Does the Alabama coach have a point? And was Alabama unfairly left out of the college football playoff? We've got sound. You'll hear from Saban. We'll get into that in just a moment. Don't move. More Maggie and Proloff at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We're back in a minute.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Back on Maggie and Perloff. Kind of a mixed college football weekend. I think the Friday night game was a bit of a bummer because USC quarterback Caleb Williams got hurt. Yeah. The Saturday noon game, the Big 12 title game, was awesome. Max Duggan, TCU hero, even though they lost the game in overtime in a bizarre way. But that was such an exciting game. That was the best game of the week, in my opinion.
It was almost like in a span of less than 24 hours, it was like two quarterbacks who are both hurt and how are they going to make it through their like respective games? You know, it's like who can tough it out more?
Yeah. And
both of them lost, unfortunately. But, you know, obviously for Duggan in overtime, was still good enough to make the college football playoff.
Well, it was confusing about Caleb Williams because we weren't sure what the injury was, and he had hurt his pinky, his throwing pinky, too. So the whole thing.
He's like limping.
And the problem was, none of that was the problem with the game. The problem was USC could not tackle a single player at all. The backup tight ends were running for 80-yard touchdowns. So it wouldn't have mattered if Caleb was healthy. And Max Duggan, I think all that mattered. Did you ever think during that game, oh boy, TCU's in trouble here? They were down, I think, 28-17 or something. I never thought that. I thought they were keeping it close enough that there was no concern with the committee.
I did. As soon as it went to overtime, it doesn't matter what happens now.
Even if it had been a one-touchdown game, say it was 28-20, I don't think that. The fact that they kept them in number three says, I don't think they were ever in danger. I never thought Alabama was going to get it.
I never did either.
Yeah.
And Nick Saban was lobbying very hard at halftime of the Big Ten title game. Like, this is hilarious to me. All of a sudden, Saban showing up at halftime of the Big Ten title game to be able to make the case for Alabama. Here's what it sounded like.
What I would say to the committee or anyone else is, if we played any of these teams that are on the edge or getting in, would we be the underdog or would we be the favorite? And I think if you can answer that question, and the goal is to get the best teams in, then you would say they belong in there. We lost two games on the road in a tough league to top 10 teams. We weren't 100%. Bryce Young was not 100%. You know, you show vulnerability when you get beat badly at the end of the season. Our team has played better at the end of the season. So that's kind of my reasoning.
So that was Nick Saban.
Yeah.
And that's something you like to talk about also, right?
Yeah,
who would be favored and are we sure we're getting the best teams in? But I don't love that argument.
Well, okay. So you're agreeing that the best teams are not in then?
Well, I'm talking about the teams that deserve to be in.
I think those four teams deserve to be in. And if I was on the committee, I would have put those four teams in. But I do not think this is the four best teams in the country.
Okay, but I can't cry about that when we've used these. What I know that we move the goalposts a lot, or the committee moves the goalposts a lot, no pun intended, but they've used this criteria, which is it matters more to get to your conference championship game. Well, it doesn't matter, obviously, for Ohio State.
The criteria is winning your conference championship game. It's listed on their list of criteria. It's not getting to your conference championship
game. Okay, well, it's also about how many games are in your loss column. And no matter what, it's virtually impossible when there's teams with only one loss for you to get in with two over Alabama.
They never jumped a one-loss team with a two-loss team. So that's why we shouldn't be surprised. But okay, you have to admit there is a slight problem here. If TCU goes out there and embarrasses themselves against Michigan, we're going to say, some people are going to say, I won't say, some people will say, they should have just let Alabama in. Because can you imagine, if it was a Michigan, Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia Final Four, that would be really fun as a fan. I'm psyched that TCU's in there, and I think actually they're going to be a little tougher than people say.
Definitely.
But I mean, that would have been cool to see Alabama in there, too. I wouldn't have complained that much.
No, I wouldn't have complained either. But just because a team might be, you know, like Bama would be favorites, how many times was Bama favorites this year? And I think they were something like, Stu's efforting right now, against the spread, they were like what do you got? Do you guys have any?
I have them at 5-5 against the spread.
So it's not all the time where just because they were favored that it means that there are going to be outright winners in this one. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is not that to me doesn't, it's not the end all be all. Just because you're favored to win to going into the game doesn't mean that deserve to be there.
I mean, there are a lot of reasons you might think Alabama's a better team. The fact that TCU went down the wire with so many bad to average teams. I mean, listen,
Alabama went down to the wire with Texas A&M.
Yeah, who has a five-star recruit at every single position.
Well, they don't play like it.
Yeah, but they were on. They were hyped for. Yeah, then Texas A&M turned around and beat LSU. I mean, no, Texas A&M was.
That was at Texas A&M.
Yeah, I'm just saying Texas A&M was not an untalented team. They're way more talented than any team in the Big 12. TCU went down the wire with Baylor, Texas Tech, West Virginia, everybody else. And, listen, TCU's incredible at pulling out wins against average teams. Let's see them against some good teams. I like TCU, and I'm a TCU fan. Just to say that Alabama, because they were 5-5 against the spread, is not a better team than TCU.
No, it's not their better team. It's that Nick Saban's argument about who would be favored doesn't automatically mean that you're going to be blowing teams out. It doesn't automatically mean that you deserve to be there just because you'd be favored.
Well, I think the be favored question is like he's saying when you look at the eyeballs of these two teams, who's a better team? And I think all college football experts would say Alabama.
Okay, well, he also made the case inadvertently for Tennessee because I think it would be the same thing. Everything that he said about Alabama, you could also say about Tennessee. Who beat Alabama?
In Tennessee.
Okay.
I mean, those two games, if they weren't at LSU and at Tennessee and the officials weren't terrified of those rabid audiences and called everything on Alabama, they would have gotten through those two games and they'd be in the Final Four and we'd see another Georgia-Alabama final. So
blaming the refs. Weak sauce, Perloff. Weak sauce.
I mean, that was a matter of, like, they just happened to run into the two wrong teams at the wrong time. It's the same Alabama team as always. They'll be back next year. Trust me.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. How do you feel about the college football playoff? You know by now, obviously. It's Georgia, it's Michigan, it's TCU, and then Ohio State, who sits home and watches USC lose to Utah. They are now in. Let's go to Paul. He's in California. Hey, Paul. What's happening?
Hey, guys. How are we doing today?
Oh, doing excellent. How are you? How's Big Dog?
Oh, I didn't get to see Big Dog much this weekend. He's in holiday season. He's a server at the local axe throwing place. But he came home with 6 tins of leftovers from the banquet, and he was in hog heaven.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry, Paul. He's a server at the axe throwing place? Like they serve food at the axe place?
Yeah, he's the lead server. They throw the axes on the wall, and he does all the corporate events there for them.
Oh.
And Maggie, he brings home so much food from the leftover of these corporate parties, it's ridiculous.
I know. Nobody eats at those things. You know, there's always so much food left over.
And axe throwing is the hip thing, right? Like, that's all the Williamsburg kids do that. Axe throwing is like a gigantic activity for you.
Have you ever tried it?
No.
It's so much harder than it looks.
Yeah, it looks hard. Huh? It's even harder than that.
Yeah, it looks very medieval because it is.
Oh, it's not easy, but he can do it. He can do it between his legs because, you know, he gets to practice all the time. But anyway, hey.
Be careful there with the axe between your legs there, Paul, if you want the Big Dog lineage to keep going.
Hey, Andrew, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think the NCAA got it right. But I don't think we have the four best teams.
Yeah, thank you.
Based off of the criteria, they got it. But I think Bama would smoke TCU and Bama would smoke Ohio State. I really believe it's going to come down to Georgia and Michigan. I think they're the two best teams by far in the country, and I'm super excited. I was in Tahoe over the weekend, watched USC, and I was just flabbergasted on how bad they showed.
Oh, the defense was just not good, Paul. Paul's in
Maggie,
Tahoe.
They could tackle anybody to save their lives.
I know. It was not good. Paul, thanks so much for checking in, as always. Hi to the fam for us. I want to live and hang out with Paul. Got Tahoe for the weekend, axe throwing. You got all the leftovers from the banquet. This is good stuff.
Before we take one more call, can I read a tweet from a friend of mine?
Go ahead.
Chris Sims, former Texas quarterback.
Yeah.
TCU in the CFP. The Big 12 sucks, and I played in the Big 12. I know what resumes are, but the middle class of the SEC would win the Big 12. It's pretty blunt.
That is not subtle.
No, I mean, I think that's one of the big issues is how good the Big 12 is. Then again, our buddy Ryan Leaf covered the Big 12. It said top to bottom it was really good this year. Hard to tell. It's so hard to tell because you didn't see a lot of interconference play.
Let's go to Robert, who's in California. Robert, how's it going?
Good. I'm just so sick of Nick Saban and Bama fans. I mean, they're overrated at 5. They had their two best wins were against number 21 and 24. They lost to number 16, and then the same number 16 Tennessee boat raced. And then, oh, by the way, they lost to Tennessee.
Yeah.
How are they ranked ahead of them? And you could make a case that USC should be seeded higher than or ranked higher than Alabama. Their losses are better, and or their losses are equal. They have more better wins. Now, I don't go that far, but there's no way Alabama should be in the playoff or even in the discussion ahead of Tennessee.
You know, Robert, I'm with you, you know, and I know that Saban was lobbying, and I just think this year wasn't it for them. Clearly it wasn't. And I know that's hard to digest because they still have so many talented players, but the bottom line is their resume just doesn't stack up.
Okay, I totally understand. But Saban was doing the right thing. I mean, he's got to go out there and lobby. What else is he going to do on this weekend?
I don't know. It also looks a little thirsty. Like, you know you're not getting in.
If you're a number five team in the country, number five, and you're not lobbying to get that fourth spot, I'm sorry. I mean, I think you maybe, who knows, maybe they put you in over Ohio State. You have to do something. See, what, are you just going to sit there?
I think so, because I think that if Saban had come out and said that, or he did, he was a guest on the halftime of the Big Ten championship game, and then the committee did it, it's going to look like they were kowtowing to Saban, wasn't it?
What difference does it make? A national title is a national title.
No, I know, but I think they're not going to do it just because of the optics. Maybe if he had said nothing, maybe they would have snuck him in. But once he calls them out like that, I don't think they could no longer, I don't think they could do it.
Yeah, I
see
what
you're
saying.
And they were never doing it anyways. Ohio State was always going to be the next team in.
Well, they already made the decision on Ohio State last week when they put them five. The question, I guess, was if TCU had gotten blown out or something, that would have been even tough. I don't think they were going to do it. Yeah, I don't. You're saying Saban should have just stayed home and sat that one out, Maggie? That's not college football. Nobody sits out anything in college
football. You're right. Nobody sits out anything. They can't. It's impossible. Fred is in Florida. Wants to talk about the Buckeyes. Hey, Fred.
Hey, how we doing?
Doing excellent. What do you think about your Buckeyes getting into the college football playoff?
I'm not too excited about that, but I wanted to say this about Saban. I always want to say Lou Saban, but Nick Saban. He's saying the same thing that we said at Ohio State when we had maybe our greatest team and we didn't make it because Michigan State beat us out because Zeke Elliott didn't get the ball against Michigan State. And that's when we had our great team. And we said the four best teams should get in. At that time, they said, oh, no, you didn't win your conference championship, so you don't get in.
So you're saying Saban's stealing your material, is what you're saying.
You know, when you make those statements, at that time, he was all for just champions getting in. Now he don't get to be the champion, but he thinks, oh, well, they did have a good team. I think Alabama is maybe the second best team in the country. But that's the way it goes, okay?
Yeah, Fred, it's hypocrisy, and you're pointing it out.
I look forward to us playing Georgia. I think Ohio State will give Georgia a good game, but I think Georgia is probably the best team in the country.
Fred, I think you're spot on. Appreciate that. I think Georgia's – listen, I think they would have rather played USC, obviously, because USC's defense is – how do we put this politely? Bad. But I think maybe
Ohio State's might be too.
Ohio State secondary also, how do I put this delicately? Terrible. No,
yeah, but then again, Georgia's a different team than last year. I can tell you this. You do not know who's going to show up for Georgia either. They're not, they've been a little uneven this year. So I think it's crazy that Ohio State's in there, by the way. Have we talked about this? The fact that they got destroyed by Michigan? And here they are. Woo, we're in the Final Four.
And just didn't play last week. Yeah. Just sitting home watching Purdue and Michigan tight until halftime, maybe 5 minutes into the third quarter, and then it fell apart.
I want to double check this. I was at that game, Michigan State at Ohio State. I've been to two Ohio State games, and one of them, Zeke did not get the ball at all and was pissed after the game. Sorry, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that word.
I think
he was furious after the game. I think it was still...
Did they ever say why?
I don't know what was going on with Zeke at Ohio State. In fact,
Ackerman, you remember this one?
Yeah, that was the one where Urban Meyer said afterward he was right. He ripped the coaching staff, and Urban Meyer came out later and said he was right.
I don't know. By the way, do we have any idea to make of this Ohio State game? Does anybody give them a shot here? I mean, I give them a shot, but I feel like Georgia is...
Well, let's think about it.
Might roll them.
Well, I mean, listen, Georgia rolled LSU. Right. I mean, it wasn't even close. can they figure something out on defense? Like, yeah. That's Ohio State's big thing. Are they going to be able to figure it out or make adjustments on the fly, something they just could not do against Michigan?
And their offense shut down in the second half against Michigan, and JSN is not showing up for that game.
Yeah, that was just announced earlier today that the very extremely talented, yet unfortunately very hurt Jackson Smith Enigma is not going to be playing in this game.
Yeah, so now we'll see Trevion Henderson. I don't know. There's a lot of bad mojo around this Ohio State number four. It almost felt like the committee's like, oh, Ohio State's number four, kind of. Let's hope they don't lose to Michigan again.
I don't think they're going to have the chance. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. All right, you guys are welcome to weigh in on the college football playoff. You're welcome to weigh in on Deion Sanders taking the job at Colorado, basically told everybody who's currently on the Colorado roster, jump in the transfer portal. See you later. Because he's bringing a whole new vibe and a whole new culture to Colorado.
Go ahead and jump in the portal.
It was the get ready, take a break.
So I want y'all to get ready to go ahead and jump in the portal.
I want you to pack your bags because you're all going home.
So I want y'all to get ready to go ahead and jump in the portal.
What a letdown. I can't even imagine being one of those young men in the room. That must have been a moment that you'll remember for the rest of your life. Coming up, the most frustrating moment from yesterday. Perloff and I will get into that in just a moment. Bottom of the hour, time for a CBS Sports Update. Here is Rich Ackman.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This portion of the program is sponsored by Prevagen. Prevagen is the most recommended memory support brand by pharmacists. Perloff, can you guess the Prevagen moment for tonight?
So this is a moment between the Saints and the Bucks.
Yep.
Bet you that Stu Kovacs, who chooses these moments, when recent, the incredible 9-0 win by the Saints over the Bucks a couple years ago where they shut out, or maybe it was last year, I don't remember. They shut out Tom Brady.
Yep.
That was the craziest game. Like, Taysom Hill led some drives. So I think you went really recent with the Saints. Unusual. They have a bunch of unusual wins over the Bucks.
You know what, Perloff? You are absolutely incorrect.
Pretty much the opposite in terms of scoring.
One of the greatest moments between the Saints and Bucks came on September 9th, 2018. Tampa won 48-40 behind 417 yards, four touchdowns.
Was that Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Yes.
Oh,
no,
that doesn't count.
From Ryan Fitzpatrick. On the other side, Breeze completed 37 of 45 passes for 439, threw for three touchdowns. Alvin Kamara made his way into the end zone three times. New Orleans leads the all-time series 39-23.
So that game, Tampa Bay won that game and didn't win any more games. And the Saints went on to not lose again until the playoffs. So what are you doing? So that's a completely misleading.
Fitzpatrick had 400 yards passing.
It was crazy. And they were like, wow, awesome. This could be the year of Ryan Fitzpatrick. Nope.
It never is.
It's always
the month of Ryan Fitzpatrick. It's never the year of Ryan Fitzpatrick. He doesn't put together, you know, more than a couple good weeks in a row.
That was a good time. That one game, it was, wow, Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to be the MVP of the league.
Was it early on in the season? Yeah. You said, right?
Week one.
September 9. Yeah,
I think it was week one, right?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
This is going to be a fun one tonight. We'll see. Brady, you're right, has, you know, not a great history against the Saints, although did beat them in the playoffs when it mattered on their road to the Super Bowl with his first year in Tampa.
Well, it's an irresistible force versus an immovable object. Yeah. The immovable object being Andy Dalton's inability to win a night versus Tom Brady's inability to beat the Saints. Somebody's got to win this ugly, ugly football game.
I mean, who's going to give?
Well, the funny thing is the Saints have not played well.
Yes.
The Brady and the Bucks should win, but somehow the Saints win this game. watch out for the Saints in the NFC South because somebody's got to win this division.
Well, a team nobody has a above 500 record in that division.
You could get, it might be 7-10 into the playoffs in the NFC South.
And I'd still probably bet on Brady.
Yeah. And by the way, and I still wouldn't want to face Brady in the wild card round of the playoffs.
Absolutely not. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. All right, so got an interesting one tonight. We'll make our picks for that game later on. Let's go back to the phones. Frank is in Alabama, but he's a Michigan fan. Hi, Frank.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great. What's on your mind?
Well, hey, I'm a longtime Michigan fan. I'm a rocket scientist that lived through the wonderful Cooper years up in when I worked in Cleveland, and I'm glad to see a return. Frankly, I'd love to see him play Ohio State again. I think they got a team to beat him, and I'd love to say we beat him three times in 14 months.
Frank, I'm sorry I wasn't listening to anything you said because I have a question about being a rocket scientist. Yeah, ask you something? Can I ask you something that keeps me up at night?
Sure.
Okay. So sometimes I get a little concerned that an asteroid is going to hit the Earth and we're going to be wiped out like the dinosaurs. Should I be worried about that? Yes or no?
Well, you should be worried about it as much as the dinosaurs were.
Wait a minute. Okay. But they didn't know. The dinosaurs had a walnut for a brain. I'm a smart sentient being.
Well, yeah, but the fact is there are asteroids out there. They've hit us before. They could hit us again. But it's like the lottery. Why worry about it?
All right. Maybe that's a better question, right? Yeah. I shouldn't waste my time.
Yeah. There are probably four nuclear hotspots around the world right now that probably won't last 2 years. So the odds of an asteroid getting to us before we blow ourselves up is slim to none.
Brings it way closer to home than I tend to have it. Also, Frank, what do you think about us living on the moon one day? Is that really going to happen in our lifetimes?
Well, I'm 68, so probably not in my lifetime. But you could put an outpost up there. I'm not sure. It costs a lot of money and a huge engineering project, and I'm not sure what kind of return you'd get.
Got it.
But
Michigan.
Just one last thing.
Sure.
My son went to Alabama, so I put money there, and I can root for them when they're not playing Michigan. I couldn't root for Ohio State unless they were playing the Taliban. So,
oh, boy.
I got you. I got you thinking nuclear hotspots.
Yes. Okay. And that call comes full circle.
Tough
Frank,
question.
Thank you so much.
Tough
Appreciate
question that's been raised a lot about Ryan Day.
Yeah.
Is this the worst-case scenario for Ryan Day that they got to the Final Four and they could theoretically lose to Michigan again?
Another time.
Or is it,
but think about that. You'd be riding so high off of beating Georgia that even if you lost to Michigan, you just would have taken down Georgia. That has to even out.
But there is this loud school out there that wants Ryan Day gone from Ohio State, which is still weird to me. But a lot of national people are saying, well, Ryan Day could be back on the hot seat if he loses in this Final Four. I'm telling you, a lot of people. Samter, you hearing this?
Five losses the whole time he's been.
I'm well aware.
Well, no, but my point was that if you lose to Michigan in the national title game, you'll never live that down, right? It's like the Yankees could beat the Red Sox 100 years in a row, but losing a 3-0 lead and then letting the Red Sox win their first World Series in 86 years will forever be there. So, they could beat Georgia by 50, and if they lose to Michigan by one in the title game, that will forever be on his tombstone.
It'll forever be on his tombstone, but it doesn't mean you fire the guy.
Well, so here's what I said this before the season. You guys kind of laughed at me, but I said, if he loses to Michigan again, his seat is hot. So if they lose to Georgia, I think his seat is already hot. If he loses to Georgia, there's questions starting to build up. And if Urban
lose
Meyer
Georgia,
makes himself available.
They shouldn't even be here. This is, if USC can tackle, they're not even playing. They're in the Rose Bowl.
Right. So whether they're there and they lose by 30 to Georgia or they were left out and Bama's in and they lost to Michigan again, Ryan Day's seat is hot.
Wow. So this is the worst case. So you think Ryan Day was rooted for USC more than any person on earth?
No. I think this is ridiculous. I think there's 100 programs would kill for Ryan Day. I think there's 10 NFL teams that would kill for Ryan Day.
I think that
the guy's an offensive genius.
I think there's a million coaches who would kill for that Ohio State job. You just can recruit like crazy in the Midwest. I'm sorry, Ryan Day might be a very good coach, but that program has taken a nosedive since he's taken over compared to Urban Meyer.
All right, let me ask you a couple questions.
I think he is a good coach.
How many Final Four wins does Jim Harbaugh have?
Final fours?
Yeah. How many wins does he have in the final four?
Zero.
Zero.
How many does Lincoln Riley have?
Zero.
How many does Ryan Day have? One.
Yeah.
He's got one.
Yeah, it was like with Justin Fields, right?
Right, but
yeah.
That was also with Urban Meyer's team.
That's fair, actually.
I mean, literally, Urban Meyer left, and the first year after he left, he went to the national championship game with... The only thing was that he kind of helped bring Justin Fields there.
No, because
so,
he
like,
also...
you can give him that.
Didn't he also coach the games when Urban was
three
suspended,
games.
Right?
Yeah, three or four great. Games. Oh, that was still yeah. Urban's team that he was coaching while Urban was gone.
Hey, speaking of coaches, do you guys notice what's going on with Jim Harbaugh about now the articles are coming out about him with the NFL? It is new contract season is what's going on. And Jim Harbaugh just beat Ohio State. And then now you get an article that maybe he's interested in going back to the NFL. That guy's about to get a brand new contract from Michigan.
Well deserved.
Yeah. I mean, this is the oldest trick in the book, right? Not buying that. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Want to hear from you. Coming up, the one team that was left for dead that looks like a playoff contender. We'll explain in just a moment.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.